Who are you?
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zata Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
This is the only live, local, and consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. On the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter at PCreighton1. Aaron Raybould on the side of the glass to mask controls. At Aaron is blitzed at ESPN975. On the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975 as well. And Astros up 6-1, top of the fifth. So, questions were asked about, you know, Verlander. We were talking about Justin Verlander going into the break. Somebody had asked on, I think Brother Bear had asked on Twitch about if Verlander wanted to come back as a closer, would the Astros be open to that? I don't see Verlander wanting to come back as a closer. I think Verlander wants to come back. He wants to start. He wants to chase some milestone numbers. And like I said, I don't see Verlander having diminished stuff after he returns, because he's just got a right arm blessed by God, basically. And even though he got hurt, I mean, Verlander is, for his career, 97 games over 500. He's got over 3,000 strikeouts. He has 226 wins. You know, he's thrown almost 3,000 innings. You got two Cy Youngs, an MVP, a Rookie of the Year, a World Series. And to me, Verlander, who, funny, because this is one of the things that Andy Martino talks about in the book Cheated, about how the Astros were able to use all their technology to identify something in Verlander's delivery with his slider that they needed to correct, and how it helped rejuvenate him and make him the ace again. And what they, you know, using these Edgetronic cameras that are 1,000 frames per second, I don't even know how the math, like how you could, that's incomputable to me, to be able to have 1,000 frames in 1 second. That's just unbelievable. But what they were able to find out by using these high-tech super slow-mo cameras was that his slider was coming out of his hand just a little bit early. And because of that, it didn't have the bite. And batters could see the ball come out earlier. They could see, based on how the ball came out of his hand, it was going to be a slider. And the pitch was not effective. They adjusted his grip on the ball and got him to release the ball a little bit different. And now the ball's coming out of his hand better. It's coming out of his hand just a little bit later. And the pitch started to have that real mean bite that it used to have earlier in his career. And it rejuvenated him to being an ace. They used this technology to identify that his cut fastball really wasn't that good a pitch. And he abandoned it and he goes straight to the four seamer. And between the four-seamer and the slider, well, you guys have seen in 2018, 2019, he made 34 starts each year for the Astros and had an ERA of about 2.45 over 68 starts, where he struck out 590 batters in 437 innings. And he put up unbelievable super ace numbers at age 35 and 36 after he'd still been a very good pitcher, but he just wasn't the star ace that he had been earlier in his career. And the Astros were able to use their technology to help Verlander not just rejuvenate himself. Verlander is not going to want to go, you know, the closer route. If you remember, John Smoltz went that route because they were trying to save his arm. They thought they were going to extend his career by moving him to the bullpen, right? That's the, quote, conventional wisdom, right? It worked for Dennis Eckersley. Dennis Eckersley was a starting pitcher who was a very good starting pitcher, had a bunch of injury problems, moves to the pen, basically becomes one of the greatest closers of all time. And while Smoltz was a great closer, Smoltz closed, what, 3 years, 4 years, about 4 years, and goes back into the rotation, and he said at that time that being a reliever was more taxing on his arm than being a starter for him, because he was used to, I pitch, I take a day off, I long toss, I take a day off, okay, now I'm getting ready to pitch again. Being a closer, where you get up, you get down, you're in, you're out, okay, you're going to do this again tomorrow, okay, we do it again the next day, get one day off, okay, we're back out. You know, you might be pitching three games in a row, four times in 5 days, five times in 7 days. And he felt that bothered his arm more than starting did, and that's why he went back to being a starter. Verlander at this stage of his career, he's too good a pitcher to become a closer. Not to mention, good starters always get paid more than good closers. You know, I don't know that, you know, after this injury where essentially Verlander has lost two seasons, because last year was a non-season, essentially. You played 60 games, he made one start. And, you know, if he had, maybe if the season started on time, maybe they find this injury issue with him earlier, because you remember they shut him down in spring training, and the idea was, okay, well, you know, we'll kind of bring him along. Essentially, Verlander is going to lose two seasons because of this injury, and that might ultimately prevent him from getting to 300 wins, but he still has a shot at 300 wins. It's a long shot, and he's going to have to pitch probably 5 years to get there. But I think Verlander really wants to go get 300 wins. He'd have 300 wins. He'd probably have north of 4,000 strikeouts. And he'd punch his ticket as one of the all-time greats and a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I think that matters to him. You know, and if he's still able to pitch like that, and again, I don't know there's any reason to think that he won't be able to pitch like that. If you're the Astros, sign him. Sign him. Their offense is phenomenal. And again, everybody's concern is about the luxury tax and, oh, well, what'll it mean for next year? We don't know what next year is. We don't know there's going to be a next year. What we pretty much know is that there is no way in hell there is going to be a season next year that operates with the same competitive balance tax setup as this year. The Players Association will not have it. So the owners are either going to budge or there's not going to be a season. The Players Union is done with this tax setup the way it is, where the tax goes up like $2 million a year. Meanwhile, baseball's revenues were exploding. And Major League Baseball salaries were going backwards. First time since, you know, in the free agency era that revenues went up, salaries went down. So there is going to be a standoff. And it's going to be an ugly standoff. You know, you think back of what the strike in 94 did. Well, I mean, understand that the 94 strike, the two biggest culprits in that 94 strike are Jerry Reinsdorf and Bud Selig. Reinsdorf, one of the most hardline owners in baseball. That we're not going to negotiate. You're going to take a salary cap or we're just, you know, that's it. We're not going to negotiate. Okay, bye. We're on strike. Reinsdorf and Selig dared the players to strike. Well, they did. And it almost broke the game. It broke the Montreal Expos. Did damage to a lot of teams. They were talking about, remember they were talking about contracting the Twins? Carl Pohlad, one of the richest owners in the game, and they were going to contract the Twins. So we know the owners lie their asses off every chance they get. But considering that the competitive balance tax, I don't know what it'll look like next year. I know it's not going to look like what it looks like now, assuming that there is one. You don't know that there is one. So why are you afraid of it? You know, you only have so long a window to win with any particular core. The Astros core is still pretty young, and when you consider the fact that Jordan and Tucker are both very young and as they enter the core, Urquidy and Valdez and Javier, these are all young pitchers. McCullers still a young pitcher. Correa is only going to be 26. If you build the team out and you keep paying your guys, well, yeah, you could have a team that competes at this level for another 7 years. And how great would it be to have all those homegrown star players in your core as you compete for, you know, you become a team like the Braves in the 90s, where you basically just win the division every freaking year. You know, outside of a 60-game season, the Astros could win the division every year for like a decade, maybe longer. And the idea of, well, you know, we're just not going to pay this or pay that. When you have a top-flight winning team, people will pay to see it. Doesn't matter how stupid your ticket prices are. If you're winning, they're going to pay to go see your team. Sponsors, advertisers, they're going to pay more to be associated with the winner. It's how it works. So there's no need to be scared of, oh, can't pay this guy, I don't know about that guy. Keep winning. That's how everything keeps rolling. Late Hits.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Patrick Creighton.
Hey, you know, the Culture Map Tastemakers Awards are back. Now that we're all finally kind of getting back to normal, not trapped in our houses, able to go out again. Culture Map is back, and they're back with the Tastemaker Awards. It celebrates the top talent in Houston's restaurant and bar communities. So join us July 22nd at Silver Street Studios for our signature in-person tasting event and awards ceremony. Come celebrate all the nominees like Restaurant of the Year, Bar of the Year, Best Neighborhood Restaurant, and more. We'll unveil the 2021 winners, and you get to sample bites and sip specialty drinks all along the way. Get your VIP and your general admission tickets now at Houston.CultureMapTastemakers.com. And you want to find out about events like that that are going on or things that are going on here with us at ESPN 97.5? Well, get signed up for the ESPN 97.5 listener email. You get the latest info on everything that happens with us, like upcoming events, like where is the blitz going to be tomorrow? AJ, where is the blitz going to be tomorrow? Why? I just called you AJ again. That's the second time I've done that in like a month. Aaron, where is the blitz going to be tomorrow?
They will be at Richmond Arms Pub right down the road from our lovely studios. A really nice little soccer bar. It's got, what'd they say, 40-something beers on tap. It's going to be a party.
That's, well, you know, the European-themed soccer bars are usually a lot of fun. They're usually pretty wild.
Yeah.
So you would know about stuff like that if you were on the listener email. You'd know about our giveaways. You'd have a chance to be highlighted as our listener of the week. All you have to do is go to ESPN975.com and click subscribe and get the email in your box every day. And, oh, wow, look, this is what's going on. And my understanding is there's going to be a lot of road shows this summer. So Joel Blank in the press box, Fred and AJ, Fred and whoever winds up being AJ. These guys are going to be out partying, having fun, doing live shows. And if you've ever been to a live show, they are a lot of fun. And there's usually some kind of drink specials and food specials and giveaways and all kinds of cool stuff going on. So it's worth it to know where those are. Definitely get in on all that. So Astros are now up 8-1. Carlos Correa, 2-run single. As Correa, now 3 ribeyes on the day. He is 3-for-3 with 3 RBI and a walk. He's up to 306. Somebody gonna pay that man. And you know what? I really hope it's the team he plays for. When you have young star talent, and I get, you know, in the past, you know, there have been years where Correa hasn't been able to stay healthy. If we are seeing what a healthy Carlos Correa looks like, a guy who is now rededicated to taking care of himself and back to being the elite player at both sides of the ball. And this is the guy that he is finally realizing his potential and becoming that big-time star player. Oh, by the way, he's also ascended to basically being the captain of the team as well. How do you not pay that guy? How do you not? Carlos Correa, if I asked you who are the faces of the Astros? Altuve? Correa? Is there somebody before Correa that you would put as face of the Astros with Jose Altuve? Because I don't think there is. Maybe it would have been Bregman before last year, but you know, of all the guys after the, you know, the fallout from baseball's punishment on the Astros, of the guys that you thought would play with a giant chip on their shoulder, you thought it would be Bregman. Bregman's always got a chip on his shoulder. And Bregman, like, lost all his edge last year. Right now, it's Correa over Bregman. I don't even know that there's a whole lot of discussion about that. It's Correa. You know, Carlos Correa could wind up being the face of this team for 10 years. He could be the Astros' Derek Jeter. Star player, face of the franchise, plays 15 years with the team or longer. He could be that guy for them. And that's where, you know, we talk about the Astros, and look, this isn't a team that's hurting for money. Let's just be real about that. They are not hurting for money. This is not the small mid-market Astros. You're a big market team now. You're the fourth biggest city in the country. When this census is over, maybe the third biggest city in the country, this isn't no small potatoes team anymore. There is no such thing as, oh, the Astros can't afford to sign this guy. That is a crock and a half. They can sign anybody they want. They can bring in plenty of money that if they have to pay the tax, so flipping what? You go to the postseason, you start selling postseason merch. Boy, that tax money seems to just go away real quick. Well, we had to pay this. Oh, yeah, we made that up in merchandise, in the wild card round. You think about winning another World Series and how much money that generates. So, no, the Astros have plenty of money. That is not an issue of they can't afford to sign him. He wants too much money. There's no such thing as too much money for the Astros in reality. They've got all the money they could ever possibly want to spend. It's, will they do it? That's the only thing. It's a matter of will. Ability, all the ability in the world. Now, we got a little off track, and we were talking about this report that comes from Matt Sullivan, who said this on 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, regarding Kyrie Irving and the Nets. And here is the transcript of this piece of the interview. They were interviewing Matt Sullivan because he just released a book, and it's called Can't Knock the Hustle, Inside the Season of Protest, Pandemic, and Progress with the Brooklyn Nets Superstars of Tomorrow. That is the longest freaking title of a book like in the history of mankind. So he went on this Celtics Lab podcast. And here is the quote, right? He says, let me give you guys a little news. I'm not sure it's been out there. I've heard that Nets ownership was quite upset with Kyrie's pause. Remember Kyrie, got upset. There was a social justice issue. There was pandemic issues, a safety issue. And Kyrie just got, oh, well, I don't know that I can play. I need some time off to think about it. And then he throws this big maskless party that turned his, pseudo paternity leave into more of a COVID suspension. Sullivan then said, in the last week, I've heard rumblings, whispers really, because cracking the Nets is kind of like breaking into the Kremlin, that Brooklyn GM Sean Marks would maybe possibly, apparently, be willing to at least listen to a trade offer for Kyrie this offseason. And I can totally see that because Kyrie is the guy who breaks up the band everywhere, right? He broke up the band in Cleveland because he didn't want to be second to LeBron anymore. He wanted to be the man. And then he broke up the band in Boston because, well, Brad Stevens wanted him to play defense and he didn't want the coach yelling at him about playing defense or about making his teammates better. And then they go to Brooklyn and, while not even playing, gets the head coach fired. Gets his friend DeAndre Jordan, an inferior player to Jared Allen, to be starting over Allen, even though Allen, a much better player, younger, more efficient, and now traded. That Kyrie's quirks, for a lack of a FCC better approved terminology there. Kyrie's quirks may have worn off on the team, certainly have worn off on management. If I am the Houston Rockets and there is an opportunity to get Kyrie Irving, the answers need to be nope, nope, and hell no. That guy is poison. He is a great player. He is a nut job and a half. Flat earther. Look, the fact that he's a flat earther with all the money he has already tells you the elevator doesn't go to the top floor. And then he just has these weird quirks where he decides, you know what, I'm upset. I can't play for like 2 weeks. I can't pay a superstar money when he just decides, hey, you know, I just don't feel like playing this week. I'm a little upset. Oh, and then he gets hurt because, you know, Kyrie always gets hurt. Biggest reason why the Nets aren't playing right now. Kyrie got hurt. So, if the Nets are trying to divest themselves of Kyrie Irving, I don't blame them. I'd find a sucker to take him too. If it's the Rockets, you can't be the sucker. No matter what. All right, maybe there is... I don't even know that this is worth it. Aaron, let's put on our thinking caps here for a second. Let's say you have the opportunity to move a lower, like a later in the first round pick, so like mid-20s pick, and John Wall for Kyrie Irving. Would you make the move? I mean, obviously Kyrie is a better player. He's getting paid less money. He's signed for, let's say, one more year because he's got a player option for the following year, which he is definitely going to opt out. He's signed for one more year, but then you're out of the money. Would you trade first round pick or two and John Wall for Kyrie Irving, knowing who Kyrie is and how many young players are on your team?
No. He's David Johnson. You're going to have to pay me to take him off your hands.
I can't say I disagree with that.
You're going to have to send me Kyrie Irving and at least a first round pick alone. That's it. It's going to be like the Brock Osweiler deal. Hey, I'll give you a fifth round pick. There are no fifth round picks in the NBA draft. I know. I'll give you a fifth round pick in the NHL draft. You give me Kyrie Irving and a first round pick in the NBA draft. Deal? I mean, okay. Well, then he's your head. He's your head case. That's not my problem.
At least with David Johnson, the issue is it's skill. He's not a bad teammate. He's not a guy that causes problems. Kyrie is a great player, but he is a problem and a half. I wouldn't want him anywhere near a young team. Plus, you know, on a team that's not going to contend, he's probably not going to play. He'll, you know, need to take off for a couple of weeks. I don't blame the Nets for wanting to get rid of him, but on the Rockets, nope, nope, and nope.
You made your bed, lay in it. That's the thing, is that the question is, what dumb team is going to actually get swindled by taking him on? Or are the teams that actually could make that kind of trade going to look at him and go, you signed the nutcase because you wanted to build a super team, remember? You get to live with Kyrie Irving, or you can cut him a big-ass check to walk away. Have fun.
You know, he kind of gave the Knicks the Heisman, him and Kevin Durant, when the Knicks thought they were going to, oh, we're gonna sign all these big free agents, and they gave him the Heisman, and they went to Brooklyn. If I'm Brooklyn, I would not call Leon Rose. I would call Jim Dolan, because that's where the dumb is. It's late hits.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Hello to all our friends down at the West Bar and Grill. You know, the West is a Beaumont institution. Always a great place to catch all the games all the time because they have all the games all the time. They got a menu with steaks and shrimp, wings and burgers, catfish and more. You know, Wednesday and Saturday is crawfish night. Not going to want to miss those. Always going to find something you love on the menu. Of course, they've got all your favorite beers, wines and spirits. So you can enjoy your meal and your drinks while you're taking in the games. Or you can enjoy them while you're playing all your favorite pub games. Because they have pretty much everything at the West. pool, darts, ping pong, shuffleboard, arcade games. Arcade games usually my favorite. Happy hour in effect till 6 o'clock. Ask my buddy Mike Hamilton. Mike's the owner. Mike's going to make sure they take great care of you. The West Barn Grill, 6445 Calder Avenue in Beaumont, half mile north of I-10. Check out their Facebook page for events, the West Bar and Grill. Get your friends together and head to the West, a Beaumont institution. So top six, and the Astros are up 8-1, one out, and sacks full of Strohs, ducks on the pond, and Michael Brantley, the league's leading hitter, at the plate. I feel like this is runs. I feel like the best thing that the Tigers could probably do is walk him. I feel like there should be runs here. So Brantley at the plate, ducks on the pond, one out, top six, and the Astros up by 7. Now, as we look at how well the Astros are playing, and the fact they're, you know, 10 straight wins, they're just ripping through right now. As we get closer to the deadline, we are a little less than 5 weeks to the deadline. Deadline's July 30th, so we're about 5 weeks. And we start trying to zero in on guys who might be available that the Astros should have their eye on at the very least. There's really only one true game-breaking player that might be available. And I say might because we don't know if he's going to be available. That's Max Scherzer of the Nats. Now, certain things to keep in mind. Mad Max is 39. He's a Boris guy. And he's a 10-5 guy. So while he's a free agent after the year, he doesn't have to go anywhere if he doesn't want to, just like Justin Verlander was a 10-5 guy and had veto rights on trades. Well, Scherzer does as well. He's making almost $27.5 million, which, for as good a pitcher as he is, that's not top of the market. That's not a bad price. And if you were going to acquire Scherzer at the deadline, you'd be talking about picking up about $9.1 million, which obviously would blow the Astros over the tax line. But despite being 39, he's still playing like Max. He's 6-4 with a 2.19 ERA and an 0.82 whip with 112 Ks in 82 innings. He is the legitimate number one ace star pitcher. And if he's on the market, you got to go get him. That's a guy that changes pennant races. That's a guy that changes the fortune of your team. You go from contender to favorite. You add Max Scherzer to the team. And yeah, you know what? You're going to move some younger pitchers into the bullpen or whatnot. So what? You put Max Scherzer at the front of the rotation, you're World Series favorites. But he is the only game breaker. And the reason you go is because if Max Scherzer winds up on somebody else's team, that might be the reason you lose. If Max Scherzer winds up on the White Sox, if Max Scherzer winds up on the Red Sox or the Yankees or the Padres, that's a guy, if he's available, you go get him. After that, then you've got the closers. Now, there's three closers who are expected to be on the market. One is Craig Kimbrel, and now 33, after two mediocre years, Kimbrel looks like he's healthy again, and he has regained his dominant stuff. He's 1-2 with 20 saves for the Cubbies right now, and an 0.61 ERA with 49 strikeouts in 29 innings. And his whip is 0.64, which is insane. Now, he makes $16 million this year. Next year, he's got a $16 million option, which was a vesting option. But since baseball decided to have a 60-game season last year, there's no way his option can vest. He needed to have 110 games finished between last year and this year, and he can't do that. So it's $1 million buyout, or you pay him $16 million. If he's going to pitch with an 0.61 ERA, you're going to pay him. But the Cubs, who were in cost-cutter mode in the offseason, may still be in cost-cutter mode when we get to the deadline. And Kimbrel is a guy that, if they're still in cost-cutter mode, is the guy that they are likely looking to move. Second closer is Richard Rodriguez of the Pirates. The man they call Pedro Flaco is 31, but he only makes $1.7 million. He still has 2 years of arbitration remaining. So he's cheap, and he's under team control. So the price might be a little higher than you'd expect. But he's 3-1 with 9 saves and a 1.84 ERA and an 0.71 whip. And he plays on a team in Pittsburgh that's expected to be an active seller at the deadline. The third closer is a guy the Astros might wind up seeing this week, and that's Michael Fulmer of the Tigers. Now, Fulmer is a former Rookie of the Year. Tommy John cost him 2019. And last year, in that butcher of a season, he struggled really bad as a starter. But now he's moved to the pen. And in the closer role, he's kind of found a home. On the season, he's 4-3 with 6 saves and a 3.46 ERA. He's got 42 strikeouts in 39 innings. But since he moved to the closer spot on May 5th, he's 3-1 with all 6 saves and a 2.11 ERA. And a 22-4 strikeout to walk ratio. So he's found a home as a closer. Oh, and the Tigers stink. Those are the three most prominent relievers that look like they will be available at the deadline. After that, there's a bunch of starters who may be available. If the Twins are bottom dwellers, Jose Berrios may wind up being available. He is 27. He's 7-2 with a 3.56 ERA. He's making $5.5 million. It's his final year of arbitration next year. Michael Pineda is 32. He's 3-4 with a 3.70 ERA. He's making $10 million. He's a free agent at the end of the year, but he's dealing with an elbow injury. It's not expected to be serious. He's expected back after the break. But I wouldn't touch a guy with a bad elbow. J.A. Happ's 38. He's got a 6 ERA. Wouldn't touch him. Dylan Bundy's 28. He's got a 6.5 ERA. Wouldn't touch him. Andrew Heaney's 30. 4-5 with a 4.72 ERA. No thanks. Jordan Lyles, stop it. Kyle Gibson of the Junk Grabbers is 5-0 with a 2.17 ERA. He's making $10 million this year and $7 million next year. He's also got a 4.41 career ERA. He is pitching way over his head. It's the best he's ever pitched. I'm not paying a premium for a guy that's usually a mediocre pitcher. Also, it's the Junk Grabbers. Sometimes you got to do your job even when it's uncomfortable. Alex Cora, next.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, home stretch, Late Hits. ESPN 97.5. And I'll tell you about our friends out at 5 on the Golf Center, Southeast Texas premier entertainment venue. Texas singer-songwriter Pat Green will be performing live at 5 Under Golf Center. It's an end-of-the-summer concert, Monday, August 9th. Doors will open at 5 o'clock. Tickets go on sale this Monday, the 28th, at 10 a.m. General admission tickets are just $20. They'll be playing out on the green. If you wait until the day of the show, it's $30 at the door. So get them early, $20. Also have some VIP options as VIP tables. You could get an upstairs bay or a downstairs bay and get premium viewing space for $8 at a table or at a bay. Go to 5undergolf.com. That's the number 5, 5undergolf.com. Click on the banner at the top of the page for Pat Green, and you can get all the info, find out how to get tickets and more. All from your friends at 5 Under Golf Centers. College Street in Beaumont, quarter mile north of I-10. Go to 5undergolf.com for all the information, plus all the other cool stuff they got going on down there. So on the text line, we hear from our buddy Rory again, and Rory loves to text the show and tell me I'm stupid or annoying or how much he hates the show, but the guy listens every single day, so I think, you know, he might have a man crush on me or something. But Rory thinks that why should anybody care what players I think might be trade-worthy because I'm not an MLB GM. You're right, Rory, I'm not an MLB GM, although there are probably teams that would benefit from if I was. That being said, an MLB GM isn't going to tell you who would be on their hit list, would they? Because that would be telling their competition who would be on the hit list. No. So guys like me who do homework and have contacts and make phone calls and talk to people and, you know, I don't know, do our jobs in the media, we find out who the guys are that, you know, are going to be available, what the pros and cons to acquiring those guys are, and who to watch for. That's like what we do as sports radio hosts. So the fact that you don't know that, I don't know, maybe you don't quite know what sports radio actually is about, or maybe you're just dumb. I don't know. Either way, it could happen. I hope you're not dumb, but you usually expose yourself the opposite way. Now, Alex Cora had a very interesting response when asked about these foreign substance checks on pitchers. You know, Joe Girardi, of course, was the most prominent one where, you know, he asked the umpires to go check Max Scherzer because Scherzer was just mowing guys down. And Cora said it would be hard for him to ask umpires to check pitchers for foreign substances that they might be cheating because of his involvement with the 2017 Astros. That, well, it'd be hard for me to say somebody else is cheating when I was cheating before. Interesting response. I get, you know, maybe you don't want to say, oh, well, you know, that guy was a cheater when baseball's labeled you a cheater. But if you're the manager of the Red Sox, your job is to protect your team. And if you see a guy out there that, you know, is throwing wiffle ball pitches, I'd ask. Especially if the guy just came in the game and hasn't been checked yet, and you're in a high leverage spot, and this guy's throwing wiffle ball pitches, yeah. I'd be, hey, let's check this dude. Absolutely. And look, I understand there's a certain level of gamesmanship to it. And I said this is exactly what was going to happen. Manager's going to be like, hey, check that guy. You know what? Time's running. He's just mowing us down. Go check him. They have that right. That's been in there. That's been a right that managers have had forever. Of course, Rob Manfred thinks that the substance enforcement by, you know, having pitchers take off their hat and their glove and their belts and their pants. He thinks this is all just going swimmingly. He thinks it's been going as smooth as could possibly be, which is on brand for Rob Manfred, who's a total freaking bonehead. Manfred said, "I think the first 2 days have gone very well. We've had no ejections. The players have been cooperative." Hey, dropping your pants is cooperative. "Frankly, the data suggests we're making progress with respect to the issues that caused us to undertake the effort in the first place." Well, no, the issues were that you ignored it for so many years, and that's how they got there. Manfred is such a bonehead. That dude really, he could ruin a free lunch by asking for change. Want to say thank you to all our callers, texters, tweeters, and twitchers. To my man Aaron Raybould on the other side of the glass. We're back tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Coming up next, it's two-time Hall of Famer Booker T and the Boat Brad Gilmore. The Hall of Fame's next on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.